Is this thing on? I think it is. All right, well, let's go. Hey, everybody, my name is Derek, and I am the owner, creator, and head silicone slinger here at Amaviti, where we make silicone toys for adults. So, this week we have Willow from Chillo Fantasy on, and I'll be bringing her on in just a moment. But did you notice earlier on we had the Patreon screen? We've got patrons. Gregor B, Scott A, Henry O, Amber M, thank you so much for your support, and we'll keep on doing this as long as we can. I think with that, I want to bring on Willow. She is the owner and creator at Chillo Fantasy, and we've had some good conversations so far, and I think it's about time to bring her on, so let's go. Willow, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for taking some time and giving me the opportunity to like get to know you a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So for folks who don't know about Chillo Fantasy, tell me real quick, give me the 30-second sketch. What is Chillo Fantasy?
It's just me. I'm a small shop in Michigan. I make silicone toys for adults out of platinum cure silicone, strokers, insertables. I plan on making other things. I'm not sure what yet, but I'll have more things soon.
Oh, are you going to tease us?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't want to say it and then it not work out.
Oh, I know. I mean, we have so many plans, don't we?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then they all fall apart, right?
Yes, yeah. I have a lot of those.
So, tell me real quick, why did you get started in this? I mean, we all kind of have our little story, but what was it that got you into this? Why?
So I actually had a friend that I used to be close with who started doing it at like the peak of COVID, and she was super successful with it. And I thought that was pretty nifty. And then a few months later I got pregnant and I didn't want to have to go to a job anymore. So I started doing this and then quit my job. And now I've just been doing this for almost 2 years. I love it.
Oh, it's awesome. Now, COVID has been good for us. I mean,
Really?
Yeah. You mean you mentioned, you know, people getting started during that time, but even some of us who've been around for a little bit longer, you know, COVID was really good for us. I assume that helped you out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would assume so. I mean, I don't think that it probably would have been as successful if I started before, or maybe it just would have been better during COVID, I guess. Yeah. But I feel like it would be a little bit harder starting out like right now than it would have been like 2 years ago.
Do you think that's because people are just aren't as home as much, or
yeah,
are we looking at
home with nothing to do? So why not get some toys?
Yeah, I used to joke that, you know, during COVID, people just didn't have a whole lot to do, and so they just played with themselves. but you kind of mentioned, you know, today, and with all of the economic upheaval that we're seeing, I am kind of curious, you know, how it would be to start today.
Right. Yeah.
It would be tough.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, and I see so many new shops popping up. Like every day I have to go follow a new shop because I find another one on my recommended for me.
I know. As I love the fact that there are new shops coming along.
I love it.
Yeah, it's been kind of amazing just how many have started up. And the fact is that, we could argue back and forth whether or not it's saturated, but I think there's always room for somebody new.
Yeah, there's always different toys, different ideas. Something might not be someone else's favorite, but that shop might be that one person's favorite and they'd be their repeat customer.
Yeah. We got Dub Sativa in the chat. Good to see you, Dub. All right. So You know, as we're, you know, we're kind of bouncing around here because my brain is, we've hit so many topics, I want to kind of focus in on a couple things. You know, the struggles of getting started, but also, what has been your biggest struggle in terms of getting started and staying going?
Well, for me, since I have a baby, it's like I just want to spend time with my kids and I don't want to have to work, but I also love doing this. So it's kind of hard to find a balance, really. So that's why I go missing for a few months at a time. Like summer, I want to be outside. I don't want to be working. And then I get down to my last few $100. I'm like, okay, I need to work. But really, though, like the molds have been hard for me, trying to figure out like good ways for them to be level. Like for a lot of them, I still use like a plastic cup to set them in, or like boxes with holes cut in it. And it just sucks. I finally figured out on Nomad how to make the shelves thanks to Dark Cat. And once I get my printer up and running, I'm going to do that. I actually played around with my printer a little today trying to get it to work, but I didn't get very far.
Right. I mean, the struggles with the 3D printers are real. So what kind of printers do you have?
I just have the one. It's an Ender 5 Pro. And I had another one, the exact same one before it. But the heated bed didn't work, so I returned it. But I just, there was a little switch that I was supposed to switch, and I didn't know that. So now the new one I got, the motherboard didn't work, so I did the new motherboard, and then that worked. And now there's some issue with the X-axis when it's going. It just, like, it makes this really weird loud noise, and I don't know what that is. So I don't know.
Oh, man. Sounds like there's so many people out there that, you know, recommend the Creality series, the Ender 3 and Ender 5. And it seems like, you know, some people love them. So
I've never successfully printed one single thing on any of them that I've had. So.
Oh, man. I know Shop Dad and I talked about 3D printers a little bit. And, you know, one of the comments was, you know, don't go cheap. You know, you can get some of those that are, you know, $100, $200, but if you can bump up a little bit, you know, you don't have to spend $1,000 or $2,000 on a 3D printer, but you know, don't cheap out on it. This is something that's going to be making you and your living possible.
So honestly, it would be cheaper for me because I do pay people to print for me. So it would be cheaper.
Now I have,
you're in front of me.
Now, I have to say, I did go back through your Twitter and do a little bit of Twitter stalking. Yeah. And it looked like you had a resin-based 3D printer at one point.
No. Oh my gosh, who was it? I'm bad with remembering names. I wrote it down so I could mention that. Who was it? Bowser Pup. Yeah, right? Bowser Pup. Nico something.
Okay.
He was printing for me. I was paying him to print, and he actually designed a couple for me as well. But yeah, he has the resin printer.
Okay. And it looked like you were having problems with cure inhibition.
It was just on one little thing. I don't know if it's because it was so tiny, the little hole inside, because nothing else had any issues. It was just the little tiny, I was going to make little squishy penetrables just for fun, like a little, could be a pencil grip or whatever, but just those.
Oh, okay. Because I know that I had problems with cure inhibition on my 3D printer, and when I had a resin printer, and that was something that drove me nuts, because you know, you spend all this time making a mold and all the materials, and then it just doesn't work, it doesn't cure. And then you have to clean the master and...
It was sad because I found out like after I made the mold and after I made the little squishy and it was just still slimy. I was like, did I not mix this or what happened?
So 3D printers and now I was kind of looking again, Twitter stalking. And I was looking through your kind of trying to put a word to your design style, and it's very organic, but tell me a little bit about that.
I don't really know. I kind of want to do like plants, a lot of plants, not like, oh my gosh, I haven't been on Twitter in so long. I can't remember anyone's names. Faux phallus, right?
Uh-huh.
They do flowers and stuff. Yeah, I didn't want to like copy them. So I want to do, I mean, I want to do stuff like that, but also like just kind of, I don't really know. I don't know.
Right. And I was trying to, like I said, yeah, I was trying to put words to it. And, you know, because you have the grub and then is it the mollusk? Mollusk?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very it very much draws from nature in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, I do like natural looking things that are also weird. I like that.
A little fantastical.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. No, I just, I don't know, whatever pops into my head or whatever I see, because that one was a design that I actually bought. I didn't design that one. That was, wow, I am having a brain fart. Oh my gosh, that was,
because I was trying to find the
Venus.
Venus is going to be on the show in the future as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I love their stuff. Them and then Os Sculpts, they did the penis flytrap.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to get into that, but I want to come back around to it in just a minute. Because you mentioned earlier talking about working with Dark Path. And I think it's great when I hear about, you know, makers working together. Tell me about that.
I don't remember how we started talking about it. It was months ago, but they ended up sharing a video with me about their shells and how to make it. And I thought it was interesting. And then I just forgot about it for so long because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to sculpt anything yet. So it was in my messages. And then I found Nomad and I started using that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know how to sculpt now. So now I can make the shell. And now I don't have to use a cardboard box to hold my molds. So yeah, that was really nice. And they've been helpful. There's been so many chefs that have been helpful with any questions that I've had. Ravenous, Arkham Harbor, they're super helpful. They help me print sometimes with some designs. They're gonna print my Patrick for me next after they do some of their own designs. So Patrick's coming back.
Okay.
Different sizes.
Now you mentioned Nomad. Now that's iPad based, is that right?
iPad, Android, it's on both. Okay. And it's, I think it was like $14.99 or $15.99, and it's just so, so easy to use. I could not figure out Blender at all. And this I learned in like 2 hours I was sculpting something. Right. And that was literally with using Google at all.
Yeah, I couldn't get Blender to work with my head at all.
No, I don't get it. I don't at all. Not at all.
But you were able to do the mold shell in Nomad?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was actually really easy. There were a few things that were different that I had to look up, and then I was able to figure it out. And then I was able to post that and help other people that were using Nomad. So that was cool.
Yeah. Okay. Nomad, I haven't used it yet. Is it more like a solid modeling where you're kind of like, you have tools that you shape things, or is it kind of a, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it like working with clay, or is it more like building from CAD?
Clay. It's like clay. Yeah, okay. And it's super, super easy once you get the hang of it, and I really like it.
Okay. Because ZBrush is like that, and that worked for me.
Yeah, I've never used really anything else other than Blender and this, so I don't really know too much about anything else.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you've got more knowledge than I do about Nomad, so I mean, I'm happy to dive into that with you, because it's...
Oh, yeah.
I think it's an area that people get intimidated by. You know, they think they've got to have this crazy software or whatever, but it sounds like Nomad is kind of easy.
I use it on my phone and I use it on my iPad, and it's only crashed once on my iPad because I made the resolution way too high. But other than that, I have had no issues.
Okay. Well, good. Now I'm going through my notes here. I want to remind everybody, if you have questions, drop them in the chat. George is going to wrangle those, and we'll either work them in as we go along, or we will come back to them at the end. So, and hopefully people aren't reading my mind, because I have my list of topics that I wanted to get to, and half the time people are, you know, throwing questions out there exactly like what I wanted to ask. Which makes me feel good, because then I feel like, okay, I'm actually, you know, being an advocate for the audience at that point.
Right.
So, now customs, is that something you've got coming up? I think I saw.
Yeah, I got rid of customs for the past couple months, just because I figured it would be easier, and I was nervous to do that because customs is most of the orders, or all of the orders that I got, really, besides mystery boxes. I had never done drops before. But yeah, so I'm bringing customs back tomorrow, actually.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
So people can get those through your website?
Yes. Website, Etsy, preferably website.
Gotcha. I just realized I forgot to turn on the lower thirds down there that has the names and links and all that kind of stuff. Hopefully George will throw some of those links into the chat as we go along as well. Now, so you got customs coming up.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you hadn't done drops.
Yeah, the last drop that I did was really my first drop besides the sandworm that I did 2 years ago, or not this last October, but the October before that, right? Yeah. I don't remember. I did a small little sandworm drop, but this last drop was my first one, really, and it definitely didn't go as I planned. Or that I hoped. I mean, it went as I thought it would, but so not so great. And maybe once I have new models that are more exciting, it'll be better. But I've had like the same four things for so long. It's just really boring.
Do you feel like you're chasing designs, you know, trying to always find something new?
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many that I want to do. Or like ideas that I have that I feel like it's kind of hard to put them together sometimes. Or like once I do it and I like turn it upside down to see how it would look in a mold, it's not right. And then I have to start over again. It just, that happens a lot. But yeah, no, there's just so many that I want to do and I can't, not all at once. And I try to do them all at once and then I just get discouraged and I stop.
Okay. So you said you get discouraged. You know, one of the things I like to talk to other makers about is, you know, kind of maybe you call it the emotional side of the business,
yeah.
But you know, talking about failures and flops and things like that. But it sounds like, you know, you get discouraged in some way.
Oh yeah. Just there was this one like month or a couple of months that I was just having so many flops. Like my office that I work in upstairs is super unlevel, so it's hard sometimes to get some of my toys to stand up after I make them. They're all falling over. That sucks. There was one point where I was having like curing issues because I don't have air conditioning, so I finally put an air conditioner up here. there's just so many bubbles at the base because it was curing like as I was pouring it. So winter was great because I wasn't having that issue. But yeah, and then just like this new design, the insertable fly trap that I never named, the large one, it flops over. Actually, I have it. It's really big, but it just flops. So his head needs to change. So I'm going to redesign this one. The small one's actually great though. I might keep the small one, maybe, but that one stands up and it's cute.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, and there's little details on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're kind of playing with that, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, Venus fly trap, but also a little bit of Little Shop of Horrors in there.
Yeah, I really didn't mean to do that, but it ended up looking that way. I've honestly never even seen that movie, or play movie, I don't know.
Both.
I've never seen Yeah, everyone's like, name it Audrey, and I was like, I probably should, but I should probably watch that movie first, or I'll just feel like a poser.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I mean, it's not high theater or anything like that, but it's definitely worth a watch.
Right.
But you know, when you've got all of those flops and fails happening, you know, how do you deal with that? That failure. How do you deal with that?
I go downstairs and cry. No, not really. I don't do that. I just try to design better ones, I guess, or take a break so I don't want to cry. Yeah, because no, it really sucks. I hate being discouraged, and it makes it hard sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And tears in silicone. I mean, who wants that?
No.
Now, you talked about, I think you mentioned it. So there's the, you showed the example of the Venus flytrap, but then you also have the penis flytrap.
Yes. Actually, I forgot to bring a model of that. I have a mold. I have a master. I can get that.
Okay. And while Willow is grabbing that, I will remind everybody that we do this every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. And the next couple of weeks, we have Kizu and Friends coming up on August 7th, Dong Sommelier on August 14th, Ishtar 137 on August 21st. Those last two are collectors, and they've got some really impressive collections. So I'm really looking forward to seeing and talking to folks who are on the other side of that of the counter, so to speak. And then after that, we have Pleasure Forge on August 28th. And Linda was my first guest. I don't know if anybody remembers that way back a year and a half ago when I first did my live streams and was having all kinds of technical problems. Linda from Pleasure Forge was my first guest, and she was so awesome about it that I'm really looking forward to being able to get in touch with her again. But Willow is back. What do you have for us?
So this is the little penis fly trap.
Oh, wow. And now tell me what that is for. Is that a penetrable?
Yes, trans mass penetrable. And I make it open or closed. And then I made a bigger one, but the inside's actually just so small because I wanted this to be like a standard size penetrable, but it's like as big as my finger. So it just uses so much silicone. If I wanted it to be like a standard size, that I had Ausculpts redesign the inside for me so that it was bigger and used less silicone because it was huge. The one that I had made for a standard size, because I told them the inside diameter, not thinking about how big the outside was going to be, and I got the print and it was massive. I was like, oh, God.
Was that the one that was as big as your head?
Yeah. That was so ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm not. Because I tried to pull the mold off of the master, and I couldn't. I had to end up cutting it off and the middle was still stuck inside. So I gave up on that one.
Now the penis flytrap, I mean, that's a little bit of a niche.
I don't really know why or how I thought of it, but it just, flytraps look like mouths to me, and then I was like, it rhymes with penis, I have to do it.
Yeah. And now, then you also had, so you have the slightly larger version that you're working on as more of a penetrable. And then you have the Mad Eye and To the Core. And it seems like you've kind of carved out a little niche there for yourself in penetrables.
I wasn't seeing so many of those around. Like, only a few shops have penetrables at all. So I wanted to do that so that I could have something kind of different than just insertables. And it was successful, and I definitely want to do more. To the core though, that one, it's super cute and I love the idea, but it's just hard on the mold and my hands getting it out. It hurts. The toy, sometimes it'll tear a little and I have to throw it away. And that's also really sad.
Yeah. Now tell me, I mean, I know what the To the Core looks like, but can you describe it for folks?
Yes, it is like an apple core, like bitten. It's, you know, I'll grab it.
Yeah, normally we have folks grab their examples beforehand, but sometimes they don't always get them all together. Now, I'll kind of check in with George here in a few minutes about any questions that might have popped up in the chat. But I did see that we had Muffin in the chat as well as Dub Sativa. So I'm really looking forward to questions from you guys. And now the To the Core, as you were describing, it was kind of like an apple core.
Yeah. So this is, oh my gosh, it's backwards. Okay. This is To the Core, the Transmask one. And I also make that one open and closed. And then I was making a bigger one, but this one's just same thing. It's like impossible to get out of the mold. So I'm going to have to redesign that so that it's easier to pull out, probably skinnier at the base so that it's tapered and it doesn't hurt my hands to pull it out or break. the Mad Eye ones, I have four different ones. I have the Spike, the Wave, the Scup, and the Vortex. And those are right now only in standard size. That one's the Scup.
Yeah, it looks like, are those suction cups on the inside?
Yes, that's why I named it Scup, because it was like suction cup just combined.
Yeah. What's the inside diameter on those?
Oh, I don't remember, actually. I haven't made them in actually in a while, so I just haven't paid attention. I think it was like 5 centimeters. Does that sound right? 5 centimeters, 4 centimeters, about. I think
five
it was
centimeters?
About.
Yeah, it would be about 2 inches.
Okay, then it's less than. It's probably like an inch and a half. Inch. Actually, it's close to an inch.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty small. But I do plan on making these ones in different sizes as well and probably thinning them out because they're pretty thick.
Yeah.
There's the Spike also. That one looks like a bunch of teeth. And then the Wave.
Okay.
And then this one's the Vortex.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I make all the penetrables in 0020. I haven't tried 0010 yet because that will probably be sticky, and I don't know. I've never used it.
Mm. Yeah, it could be. I think you can powder those with talcum powder or baby powder or something like that. And that'll get rid of the stickiness, but they'll never be sticky again. That's the other thing, is that.
Oh.
So if you get it on the inside, I don't know. And that was going to be kind of one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, how do you, when you're designing those penetrables and you're thinking about, you know, the shape of it first, I guess, but then trying to figure out size, you know, bits of people come in different sizes.
Right. So, it's actually really hard. And I need to make probably at least 5 sizes for each penetrable, because there's just so many different sizes. And I was thinking for most of them, tapering the hole inside as well, so that you can use one side or the other, except the one side will be boring and flat because that's the bottom. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wonder about that. And also, you know, how you get what's the word I'm looking for here? Not the constriction, that's kind of the word that I'm looking for, but and how do you balance that against the materials and the stretchiness of the materials?
Like for the actual toy itself?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get to is, you know, you've got the combination of both the shape, the size, and the materials, and all three of those have to come together to be right.
Right. So for the standardized ones, I try to have my husband use it and see like if it should be squishier or more firm or bigger, smaller. Just kind of see what he thinks. But I know some people are more sensitive than others, so I plan on doing some that are just kind of smoothish inside with like little waves, I guess, and then obviously some with more texture. Because I know for myself, I don't like texture. I just like smooth, like with little twists up and down, but nothing like my grub chub. I don't like that one at all. Not at all.
Yeah. George has a snarky little comment about how hard, now I have an idea of how hard it is to buy a bra.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's why I wear sports bras. I can't do it.
Yeah. Now you mentioned that your husband is one of your test subjects. How do you handle testing and things like that?
Usually if we want to do anything that night, I'm like, hey, let's try this one and we'll try it. And he's either like, yeah, that one's good, or no, please stop.
Do you find that it gets, you know, almost academic, or, you know, becomes, you know,
a little bit, cause I'm kind of like focusing more on the toy instead of him. So it's kind of like almost awkward and boring. It's just, and then I realize that I'm paying more attention to the toy and I'm like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, I have this analytical brain that I'm thinking, you know, I have this intention of what I want something to be and to do. And then, you know, when it comes to product testing, and I send it out to the folks that do product testing for me, it's kind of, you know, you get into this almost autopsy. It's, you kind of dissect it.
Yeah, definitely. My gosh. That part is a little weird too. You're just like analyzing every little detail of it. Like, so how did this part feel? How did that feel? Did you like this?
Right. And you know, you're diving into this and, you know, they're not thinking about those things. And
right.
And you have to kind of guide them to, you know, let's talk about the mechanics of it. Yes, you enjoyed it. Okay, that's great. But, you know, let's talk about the mechanics of it. Was it comfortable? Was it, you know, all of those things? So do you have a testing group?
Not really. I mean, there's this lady on YouTube that is local to me. She reviews like my mystery boxes, but she doesn't go like into so much detail. And I honestly don't even know if she's ever used them, but she just describes everything in the box and lets people know like, this is what this one comes in. Like, this is the small box. It comes with this and this. at least for hers, and it gives people like an idea of what they might get if they order that size box. But really for like testing it out and telling me how it was, no.
Okay.
Because
I have, you know, a small group of folks that I send things to, and, you know, they cover the spectrum, and it's nice because I can send something to somebody, even though I am almost positive they're not going to like it.
Right.
And, you know, they still have to test it because I sent it to them. But then, you know, there's a question of, okay, did you like it? And sometimes they come back and they're like, actually, I did. I didn't think I would. But then, yeah. So, yeah, let's see. I wanted to, yep, we talked about the Vortex Spike, Scup, and the Wave, because I was like, oh my God, she's actually going through and, you know, multiple different textures in there.
Yeah. And I want to make more textures for those ones too, just because those ones seem kind of easy to hold, just in different sizes. Mm-hmm. Maybe change the outside a little bit. Not sure what I want to do yet. I want to change them a little though. I actually got the idea of a pencil grip. I was like, this looks cool.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned earlier that you did your first drop recently,
yes.
But, you know, you'd been in business for a couple of years before you did that first drop. Was there a reason why?
I wanted more free time, and also my mom and my grandma were going on a cross-country road trip with my son, and they're my helpers. My mom helps me up in the office, and my grandma watches the baby. And I pay them sometimes with dildos or whatever they want. It's mostly my grandma, honestly. My mom hasn't wanted any yet.
I know. I saw a tweet from your grandmother about you sent her a picture of something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I was shocked when she said that. She says some pretty wild things, but that I was just like, whoa.
Yeah. And, I think just to give people a sense of kind of the conversation was grandma was a little surprised at the size.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember what exactly she said, but it was shocking.
So obviously your family knows what you do.
Yeah. My dad, I told him, he's like, all right, well, that's enough. All right. And anytime my stepmom asked how it's going, I'm like, yeah, it's good. And then I talk about it a little and my dad's like, all right. And he walks away. I'm like, I'm not making porn. Like, I'm not naked.
Right. Yeah. My family doesn't care. It doesn't bother them at all. They've kind of come to accept that I'm going to do some weird things in this world, but, my dad says that I'm working on building my dildo dynasty.
Yeah, I love it.
And I guess your friends know as well.
Oh, yeah. Most of them love it. I have one friend who's awkward about it. She's like, can you stop sending me dildos all day? Sorry. No, I'm not going to stop.
Oh, man. Now, okay, so I'm curious, in my head, and this, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that when you chose not to do drops, I kind of assumed that there was a philosophy behind that, as opposed to it just didn't fit with your particular needs at that moment. Am I wrong?
Well, I would love to do drops, honestly. I feel like it would be easier. I could really just work a few days out of the month and then do the drop at the beginning of each month, and it would give me more free time rather than where the customs, I have to hurry up and make that order and make sure it's right, make sure it's the right colors, textures, whatever. So yeah, that's why I wanted to do the drops, but it just wasn't working out. Really?
Okay.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm doing customs again.
Okay.
For now, at least.
Right. And you mentioned that you had worked with Venus in the past on working with some designs.
Yeah, so that one was actually already made, and I bought it off their website from them. And I had honestly planned on buying more designs or commissioning them to design something for me until I learned how to do Nomad. And now it's just, I'm having so much fun with it. I don't think that I could, I don't think I could do that again. But I do love his work and Os Sculpts. All of their work is great.
Yeah, you'll have to send me a link to the second person that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because I there are a couple folks that I've been following, and I kind of give a, you know, I'm always got my eyes around trying to figure out what people are doing. And I want to make sure that I get all the folks in that list.
Yeah, I try to follow everyone too, just to see what they're doing. I like it. I love it, everything.
Now, in our conversation before the show, you mentioned that you had worked with somebody, not necessarily worked with somebody, that you had gotten a design that was open source.
Oh yeah, my Notzilla.
Okay. So tell me that story.
Before I knew like anything about anything, I started looking online. Like I was like, oh cool, maybe someone already has a dildo made, and I went to like Thingiverse or something probably, and bought an open source because it was like a pack of dildos, and I liked that one in there. So I did that one, and I named it Notzilla, and then like a few months later I saw there was another shop that had it that's also in Michigan, and then there's another one somewhere else that has the same one, and I think there's a third one actually. I don't remember where those other two are from, but I think there's at least three other shops that have that same design. So I plan, first of all, on never doing that again, but I don't recommend it. But I'm going to change up how the Notzilla looks so it's not the same as everyone else's, but it's still similar to what I had because people like it. So I'll just make it a little cooler than everyone else's.
Gotcha. Okay. Because I haven't worked with any artists yet. I've done all my own designs, and that's kind of always the way that I've worked. And I'm kind of curious how that process works.
I mean, I'm just artistic myself, so it was like hurting me inside because I know that I could do that. I didn't know how.
Gosh.
Like I could tell them my ideas, but I just couldn't do it myself. So I had to go to someone else.
Yeah.
And now that I know what to do, I can do it myself. And I love that.
Gotcha. So what do you think you struggle with the most?
Really my molds. I mean, my molds are nice, but like putting them in something like the cardboard box, that's really my hardest thing because I was doing love molds, and I made them a little too thin, so like they were stretching out and just getting bigger and bigger, and I'm like, why am I using so much more silicone? And then I tried a block mold, and I could barely pull anything out, especially the master. I couldn't get it out. I had to cut the mold, so then I had seams on everything, and that was just ugly. And then I made my glove molds thicker, and that was working, but still my upstairs is pretty unlevel, so they're still crooked and flopping over sometimes. For the most part, they're good, but there's like the Hildebar, that one just keeps flopping over now. And I try to move it to like a different area so that it won't be crooked, but it's, I don't know, I might just have to make a new mold or something for that. But now that I have those shells, or that I'm able to do those shells, I think that everything should be better from now on. And Dark Path actually told me they use 0050 for their, like inside their shell. because I it's a lot more a lot less firm than the mold star, so I think that'll be easier for everything as well.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of I found that each of us has our own area that we struggle with, and it's always interesting to hear about how we each deal with that, because it's one of those things that, you know, we all have our strengths. So
right.
Going through my notes. Oh, George is throwing notes in here for me. She wants me to talk about how it goes when we test. So I will tell you a story. When we test, it becomes almost mechanical. It's very much about, you know, turn it this way, move it that way. And, you know, okay, tell me what about if I do this? And no, don't do that, do this. And then it's a bunch of feedback of, okay, that was good, this is bad. Then we go back and, you know, make design changes or anything else that we need to. It's always fun. I mean, you got to have a sense of humor about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when you're working with model designers, tell me about the ups and downs of that.
Probably, like, I mean, if you're wanting something sooner rather than later, some artists can be more backed up than others. So you might want to see, like, who has less of a line, I guess, or how soon you could get it. Or, I mean, if you don't have a deadline, it doesn't really matter. But, like, if you're wanting something right away, it kind of sucks sometimes. Thankfully, I haven't really needed anything, like, immediately, so it's been fine. And then also just, I guess, having to, like, I wouldn't say, like, not design your own, but, like, not be totally in control of it. I don't know, because I'm kind of a control freak, so I feel bad, like, just telling them, like, can you change that, or asking them to change little things, so I guess if you're shy, it could really suck if you don't like it and you don't want to say that you don't like it. But yeah, no, I haven't really had any issues because they, I mean, they've just been so good with everything. I hadn't really needed to change anything. The main thing I think would be like thinking it's perfect and then you go to pour the mold, or you have the mold done and then you realize that there's some issues, like if areas that might have bubbles that you didn't think about, or like the inside diameter. But that was my fault, though. I didn't think about that at all. But that's what sucks, though, because then you have to go back and ask them to change it instead of just being able to do that yourself real quick. Because okay. I don't want to do someone else's work without asking them.
Yeah, having to let go is tough.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see, there was a question from the audience. Has Grandma told anyone in person about your company?
I think she has. I think she's told her neighbors. I don't know. I think she might have told maybe her brother when she went to visit on their road trip. I'm not sure, though, but I feel like she would have. So that was probably great, because I FaceTimed with them and he saw my neck tattoo and he was like, why did you do that? So I can only imagine how that would have went if she told him. Oh, man, because he lives in Utah, I think.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he's Mormon or not, but I know my uncle is.
Yeah, those of us in the Midwest, we live in a fairly conservative part of the world. Let me see. I lost my notes here for a second. Worm Inside had a comment, and I think it's a really interesting idea because they were looking at your website, and they commented about the photography. And I was just glancing at it again because I was like, yeah, I remember there being good pictures. But then I looked at it, I was like, there's some good reflections. And I guess the question is, you know, pictures sell the product, but what goes into that process for you?
There was a maker that I saw, I don't remember who it was, but they had like their products reflecting underneath, and I was like, wow, that looks so good. So I had to Google search like how they did that, and I figured out that it was like an acrylic plate, and they make different colors too. So I use like a black backdrop and then the black acrylic plate, which is super shiny, and then just edit out all of the other stuff that you don't need in there. So it just looks super clean, and it ends up looking just really, really nice. And I think the black looks nicer than the white, mostly because I don't want my website to be all white.
Yeah, that makes me think, though, if you're doing drops, that means you have to take pictures of every single one of them like that.
I don't.
Okay.
Because it's so hard. So for the drops, when I do that, I just do like a backdrop and then like another backdrop underneath. And I just don't edit those really at all. So they just see it how it is. Because that takes so long. It already takes long enough to take the pictures and post them, period. So
there's so much time in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to my list. Who has been the biggest help on your journey?
Like makers or anyone in general?
You can answer it any way you want.
Or
actually I'll say both.
Yeah. Definitely my husband, because he lets me basically live here for free. I don't really have to pay anything. Everything goes toward my business, and then paying whatever little bills that I have, but he pays for everything else. So that's a huge help. I really wouldn't be able to do this if I had to pay other stuff, mostly because I take off so much time. But
yeah,
if I worked fully, I would be able to definitely help more. So yeah, he helps. And then Shop Dad, definitely super helpful. Arkham Harbor, they've been helpful with questions and printing. Honestly, that helps so much. Dark Path. And I know there's other people that I've talked to, but I've talked to so many people, but a lot of really everyone on Twitter is so helpful, honestly. There's been a couple people that I've asked for help and they said no. So, but 90% of the people I ask for anything, they help without questioning anything.
Yeah. Are you on any of the Discords?
I am, but I just don't go on very much. I don't even remember the name of the one that I'm in. I don't look at my phone, honestly, that much anymore. But yeah, I think I'm in one or two groups.
Okay. Now, I'm kind of curious now, because you just said you don't look at your phone anymore. Or you don't look at it as much.
Because I just get so overwhelmed sometimes with all the notifications that I just put it away and don't look at it because it stresses me out. Like I'll have the other day, I think it was yesterday, I looked at my phone to see what notifications I actually had, and I had 16 text messages from like 3 days worth of time, and it was just so overwhelming. Because I don't look at them.
Right. Yeah. I had to step away from Facebook. It was not good for me. And Twitter, I have to take it in small doses because it's not good for me all the time.
Right.
And I got a question from Dub Sativa. Lovely designs and marbling. So, yay. Can you tell us a little bit about your marbling techniques?
Really, I just started doing random stuff to try to see what I could do. And I kind of just like almost layer it like a bullseye. I just keep kind of pouring it like a little off center though. I pour it a little bit more to one end when I pour it in. Sometimes I'll do two like bullseyes in the same thing, or like if I want a little bit of white or a little bit of black, I kind of just drizzle that in there and then do another bullseye and then drizzle more, and then it comes out like that. And that seemed to work so far, and it just turns out so pretty, like nice little ribbons. Mm. I love that.
Yeah. Why do I keep losing my notes? Let's see. Marketing. How do you do your marketing?
I don't really. Okay. I guess I post some stuff on Twitter, but Etsy does it for me. Just really Twitter. Sometimes I'll post on Facebook. I don't really post on Instagram so much because I get like 4 likes, and it's annoying to me. So, I don't really, other than Twitter.
So social media is kind of your main marketing, Twitter mostly.
Yeah, and I didn't know about Twitter until someone on Etsy, I mean, I knew about Twitter, but not Dom Twitter. They're like, are you on Twitter? I was like, no. And they're like, well, you should be because there's so many dongs on there. And I was like, huh, I'll have to try it out. And then so fast I got like sales, and it was just very, very helpful.
Social media for me is, I try to automate as much as I can, but I'm just like, I'm not that exciting.
Same, I'm not even.
I don't feel like I'm that exciting. And so why would anybody care about, you know, what I'm doing? Yes, they're dongs, but, you know. Okay, so here's something I want to get into. How has your relationship with dildos changed from when you started to today?
Well, I don't buy Amazon ones anymore, or I don't do free Amazon review ones anymore. I didn't really have any before. I mean, they were really just vibrators, but I really only use my own because I'm like, why would I buy someone else's when I could just make my own? I mean, there's so many pretty ones that I do want to buy, but like, I don't know. I hate spending money, so I won't. I just won't.
You know, I found that they're no longer dongs to me. They're just it's art. It's silicone. It's an object. It's not sexualized.
Yeah, that too, honestly, because I just see so many people with them as displays that they really don't even use most of them, or they'll use it once and then just display it after that. But yeah, I see them more as decorations or decorations.
There's something, what was it? The dick cases. I love seeing the pictures of the dick cases.
Oh, I love those. So pretty. And I love when they color coordinate them or like do it by like certain features of it, like tentacle ones or like sluggy, snaily looking ones. I think that's cool when they're all grouped together like that.
Yeah. So Warm Inside, following up on the photography question, do you all use special cameras for your photos? I always get comments about how my toys look better in person.
No. I got a new phone that has a good camera on it. I got the S22 Ultra specifically for that because I didn't think I needed a camera, but I'm thinking that I need a camera. Mm-hmm. Because it's a little distorted because the camera's all the way up the top, so it's kind of like it ends up being angled, or if I turn it sideways, it's like, I don't know, it's just not right. It's not it's not right.
Okay.
Then, yeah. Well, my friends are into photography and their pictures just look so perfect. And I mean, they're nice on my phone, but not that nice.
Yeah. I had a friend who did photography for me for a while there. And on the one hand, they were beautiful shots, a lot like the ones that you're getting with the acrylic on the bottom and, you know, that shallow depth of field and just gorgeous pictures. But number one, it took forever to get the pictures done. And number two, this was an employee, so I was having to pay for the time to get them edited, get the lint, you know, airbrushed out. I've gotten to where I just use my phone and a light box. And the light box is everything.
I did have a light box, but it was like that big. So I'm about to just make my own with some LED lights and do that. I was going to spray paint a cardboard box black on the inside and use that, really.
So, I want to remind everybody, if you have any questions, drop them in the chat. George will wrangle those for us, and then we will get them into the queue. And, you know, I always offer to leave it open to the guests to ask questions as well. So, you know, if you've got any questions, feel free to throw them at me or interrupt or anything like that. All right, so let's see. I was trying to think, there was something else that was on my list. And I seem to have lost it now.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have worked my way through my list. So I wanted to take a minute and just remind everybody that you can find Chillo Fantasy on website, chillofantasy.com, on Twitter, Chillo Fantasy, and then Instagram, chillo.fantasy. And I think Georgia probably throw links, if she hasn't already, throw links into the chat so that folks can hit you up. So is there anything that you would want people to know about going forward?
Not really. I don't think we've got so.
Because we got the customs coming up on August 1st.
Yeah. Yes, actually. I have one special design that's going to come pretty soon, hopefully. If my printer starts working soon, magically. No other maker has anything like it. I haven't seen anything like it. But I'm not going to say what it is, because if it fails, I'm going to cry. But it's really cool. Yeah.
So you have a new design coming up?
Yeah, and it's not really the design that no one has, because I've seen a similar design, but it's what will be happening after it's poured that no one has. And I won't really be using any colors in it either, so it'll be clear. So
okay. So you're going to tease us a little bit more. All right, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
And you've got redesigns coming up on To the Core and what was the other one?
Patrick. Oh, say and the Fly Trap.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Yeah. Yes. So you got redesigns coming up on those. And yeah, I think that's all that I know about.
Yeah. And then, well, I mean, obviously the Nautzilla, I'm going to change that a little, so because that's the same as three other people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, George, have I missed anything yet? Okay. Well, I think that is everything. So I want to thank you once again, Willow. Totally fascinating. I'm always curious about how things work in other people's worlds, and I've had a blast.
Thanks, me too.
Good. All right, well, hang out for just a couple of minutes, say goodbye to everybody, and I will catch up with you in just a bit.
Okay.
All right, well, that was Chilo Fantasy. I almost screwed that up. That is Willow from Chilo Fantasy, and there will be links in the video description as well as a podcast description, and definitely go check out their stuff. It's really, really interesting to see how they have carved out their little niche in this world. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what this new model is that they're talking about. And with that, I am done. I am out of here, and I'll see you next week. Bye.